Father, that's the truest statement that we can make. Lord, it's all about you. Everything that we do and everything that we say and the life that we have is all about you. It's all because of you. Father, we come to you this morning and ask that you would speak to our hearts, that you would show us from your word what it is that you would have us to learn this morning. God, I thank you for the opportunity to be in your house, to worship you, to be reminded, to taste and see how good you are. So congregation, I would just ask that you would just take a moment and pray for yourself. Pray that the Holy Spirit would speak to you and reveal to you whatever it is that you need to hear this morning, and that he would give you the ability to respond. I would ask you to pray for me that God would use me, and that not be my words, but his alone. Father, we love you, and we thank you for your love for us. We ask these things in your precious name. Amen. You may be seated. Excuse me. This morning, as I mentioned earlier, is our Mission Emphasis Sunday. And children's church, children, you're dismissed. Now's the time, or be trapped forever. No. So our Missions Emphasis Sunday, one of the things that some of you may know, that we have a couple from our church, Phil and Rhonda Barnes, who have answered the call to go on mission internationally, and they are in Romania and in Bucharest, Romania. They've been there since about September, the end of September when they left of last year. And so I contacted them and asked them if they would mind putting together a small video to share about what they've been up to and some of what they're doing and what's coming up. So Maria's going to show a little video here. I'm going to sit down so I can watch.
Buona dimineața.
Buona dimineața.
Good morning. I'm Phil Barnes.
And I'm Rhonda.
And we are missionaries from First Baptist Church Rockport, serving with Stepping Forward Ministries here in Bucharest, Romania, the capital of Romania.
And we are learning to acclimate to a city of 2 million people. We have an ingenious plan created by Stepping Forward Ministries called Bucharest Bingo, and it helps us learn to get around the city.
Yeah, what it is about 40 to 50 different little events or places or things to do that helps us to get used to the public transportation system here, to get used to some of the culture that they've got here, as well as the different areas of the city. And this is something that will help us as we work with teams that come in to be able to get them to places, as well as helping out with the orphans and getting them to doctor's appointments, dental appointments, the parks, and stuff like that.
We have been making weekend visits to the orphans. Some are in apartments and some are in institutionalized type of buildings. I've also been teaching during the week an English class to Chinese ladies. Please pray for this because most of them do not know the gospel.
Yeah, and some of what I've been doing over the time has been doing some construction projects at camp, getting some things repaired and ready for summer, as well as preparing a major construction project that will start in the spring. We've also been hosting some of the young adults that we've met here in our apartment and just trying to love on them and kind of explain why we're here.
In December, we had a great time shopping for the children. We had Christmas parties for the children. We also got to hand out some Operation Christmas Child boxes with Missionary Marian and Erzi Chen. thank you all so much for all that you've done in sponsoring these children and praying for them. Please continue to pray for them. It is very, very important.
Yeah. As far as some things that are coming up, Rhonda and I both start Romanian language class. So we'd appreciate some prayers with that, so that it will help us to not only communicate with the orphans, but also those that we come in contact with on an everyday basis. I've also, like we said, we've got some construction projects that we'll be starting out at camp. If you've got the desire and the ability, please come help. We'd love to have you. We had a team that had to cancel out, so we could really use some additional help in the spring.
Absolutely. We've also been preparing for camp for the spiritual aspect. We've been working on lessons for children who have never heard a Bible study before. They don't know who Jesus is. They've never even heard his name. They don't understand him at all. So please pray for us as we prepare these lessons.
Yes. And other ways to pray for us, like we said, is our language class, learning there. Also, for some of the older students or children that are working with, there's not a lot of opportunity for some of them as they age out of the orphanages. And so we're just trying to see where God may be leading in trying to help them out.
Please also pray for our families and please pray for our health. I wanted to tell y'all that we love you and we do miss you, but we are so thankful that we are here in God's plan and doing what he asked us to do.
Yeah, and if you want to find out what we've been doing, there's a couple of different ways to do that. We have a Facebook private group called He's Not Finished. And then we also have a quarterly newsletter, The Barnes Blast, that we send out via email. So if you'd like to, you know, please get on and let us know you'd be a part of that. You also have two mission opportunities to come here in the summer. We'll have two of the camps will be helped being run by FBC Rockport. So if you'd like to be a part of that, please ask Jordan or Monty. And just remember, as long as you still have breath, he's not finished.
Miss those guys. But know that they are doing the Lord's work and glad to see the opportunities they have. This morning, as we're looking at missions and recognizing, putting kind of an emphasis on that this morning, one of the things that I wanted to show and share with our congregation here is that oftentimes we hear about things going on, but we're not quite sure about really what's going on in and through the church. And so I kind of wanted to take a moment just at the very beginning of this message to share with you some of the opportunities and some of the ministries that we're involved in. And so kind of answering that question, how are we at FBC Rockport involved in missions? And so, and the very first thing is we are involved holistically as a church through the Southern Baptist Convention. If you'll go to that first slide there. We, as a Baptist church, are autonomous, but we are associate or cooperate with the Southern Baptist Convention. And what that means is that we give funds to help support the four different boards of the Southern Baptist Convention, which is the Executive Board, Lifeway, which is the Sunday School Board, and then you have the International Mission Board and the North American Mission Board. You may not realize this, but in the budget, we give $92,000 to the Cooperative Program. And that goes, some of that money goes to help offset some SBC church members that go off to seminary. If they go to one of the Southern Baptist seminaries, they get a break in tuition, and I was a fortunate recipient of that when I was in seminary. So I'm so thankful for the Cooperative Program in that. Other thing, most of the funds that are given go to support work with the International Mission Board and the North American Mission Board. If seeing some of the statistics up there, you see that there are over 3,500 field personnel with the IMB. And what that literally means is that there are over 3,500 people stationed around the globe that are doing missionary work in all different aspects and different ways around the globe. And part of the strategy of the IMB is to reach the unreached people groups. And so we have, last year, they reached 896 people groups were engaged through missionaries, through IMB missionaries. And through that, we saw 54,000 plus baptisms. And we see that every baptism represents a profession of faith, right? Almost as Baptists, you get baptized as a sign of the public profession. And then, but there's still work to be done. There's over 7,000 unreached people groups. And now when I say unreached people groups, I mean an unreached people group is a group that has 2% or less in its population that is Christian. And most of those fall in the 1% or lower category. So there's a lot of people that have not heard the name of Jesus and not heard the gospel. So there's work to be done with the IMB. And then also the North American Mission Board, they have three different really focuses that are supported. And one is compassion ministries. We have been a recipient of some of the compassion ministry of the North American Mission Board through the Sin Relief, through Disaster Relief, the Southern Baptist Convention's Disaster Relief, TBM, and here in Rockport. They have ministries that focus on combating poverty, helping with refugees, and combating human trafficking. Then another big emphasis in the North American Mission Board is church planting. We have 32 target cities that the North American Mission Board is trying to focus on planting churches in those 32 cities. Why? Because they're urbanated, there's that word again, I made up. Very urban populated areas. I'm gonna go with that. I said that in another sermon, I'm going with the word urbanated. Super populated, dense populated areas that don't have a lot of churches. Unlike the Bible Belt, unlike down here where there's a church on every other corner, there's not in these 32 cities. And so we're hoping churches will send out church planters. And in 2017, you see that 691 church starts or 691 churches were planted here in North America, here in the U.S. And then also there are evangelism opportunities through chaplaincy programs and just a whole gamut of other outreach ministries that we've seen 22,000 plus professions of faith in the year 2017. So if you add those together, that's like 76,000 people that have come to know the Lord and experienced a life-changing experience with Jesus. So how awesome is that? 76,000 stories of going from death to life, right? From new life in Christ. So that's it's something to be excited about. And obviously the work is still there, right? There's still work to be done. So that's holistically, that's kind of denominationally how we focus on missions. But then let's bring it down locally and to First Baptist Rockport. What are we doing? And kind of look at our strategy of Acts 1:8 strategy of when Jesus says to the disciples, you'll be my witnesses here in Jerusalem, Judea, and the other most parts of the earth, right? So what's our Jerusalem? This is our local missions and outreach here in Rockport or in the Coastal Bend area. And here is just, this is somebody told me a couple things afterwards. I left out a couple. I apologize. There are more than what's up here that we participate in locally here. But these are several different mission and ministry opportunities that we have here. We have Rockport Hands of Hope. I don't know if you know that, yes, it's an organization. It was birthed out of the serve team, but Rockport Hands of Hope is its own organization, but it's also still a ministry of the church. Every board member is a member of First Baptist Rockport, and our mission is really to have people within the church partner with us. But Hands of Hope has day, you can go and volunteer on a day basis, a day volunteer. Go and do some of the work that needs to be done around the community. A family could come and get jobs to go out and serve. There are over 690 jobs, I believe, that are still open that we are looking to complete and looking to accomplish. We're also in need of office personnel. We have some winter Texans and some people that are from Canada that are down that are help serving in our office right now, but they're moving. They'll be going back in March and April, and so we'll need people that come to volunteer in the office to help man the everyday tasks. That's just one thing. But backpacks and blue jeans, we give out last summer. We gave out, I believe, over 300 backpacks and school supplies to we had it open to anybody this last summer. But years past, it's been to those that need that are in need in the community. And also on the day that we give out the backpacks and blue jeans day, we have kind of like a family event, and we put on parenting training. We have resources available of different things in the community, from access counseling to We give the health department with immunizations, different things. So this is a ministry and a mission opportunity that has a lot of legwork that you, if you like the behind the scenes stuff, you can plug into. We have the Halloween outreach. We have the jail ministry. You can contact Steve Carlton on that. We have community table. Talk to Harlan or Maria. We have the homebound ministry, nursing home ministry. All of these opportunities are here at the church. And then we have this year, the spring break family mission trip, which we have so many churches that are wanting to come back and serve in our community over spring break that we are going to offer, we're going to basically put on a mission trip experience not only for them, but also for those within our own congregation that want to come as a family to serve. And so you'll get to go to breakfast in the morning with the teams and dinner, and then there'll be go out and serve during the day, dinner, and then a time of worship in the evening. And that's something that's coming up March 11th through the 15th. So if you, as a family, want to be a part of that, you'd be connected with another team, or if it's just as an individual, or if you want to work with behind-the-scenes stuff. That's just some opportunities locally that we're involved. Next slide. So we have state and national missions that we look at. We have Operation Christmas Child. Now, Operation Christmas Child is one of those things I feel like can go in all three categories, because Operation Christmas Child, Francis Frizzell is kind of our representative for that ministry, and she helps us get the boxes together. She has classes, I know, that help her build the boxes, and then we as a congregation fill those boxes to go to these kids around the world. So that's something locally that we do. And then for the last 3 years, they have gone and taken a team to go up to Dallas where they have a processing center where they take the little boxes and they put them all together in bigger boxes, and then they send them out, ship them out to the different countries. And so we've sent teams to go do that, and then obviously the boxes go around the world. So we're touching lives internationally. We're partnering with Samaritan's Purse on that as well. We just took a trip in December, partnered with Samaritan's Purse to Panama City, Florida. A team of us went to do some disaster relief work there. It was a wonderful experience. We're looking to go back because Samaritan's Purse is not sure how long they're going to be there, but they know they're going to be there through February. I wanted to go again. So we're going February 10th through the 15th. We have open spots for men and women. You don't have to be like super physically fit because I went and I'm not. And you don't have to be skilled because I went and I'm not. So anybody could really go on this trip. We also have TBM and the Texas Baptist Men Disaster Relief. Texas Baptist Men have actually changed their name to TBM Texas. Why? Because they include women as well. It's not just men. So TBM is not just a men's organization. Men and women are both welcome. Excuse me. And so we just had Yellow Cap training this past weekend. I apologize. And Yellow Cap training with a disaster with a TBM. And so this is another mission opportunity that if you want to go and do more of this disaster relief kind of work, TBM and also Samaritan's Purse are two ways that we can be involved in that. Next slide. So internationally, we're trying to, as a serve team, trying to focus in on certain areas or certain areas instead of hopping around to multiple different areas. We decided that we wanted to focus on building relationships, long-term relationships, in a few key areas. And so Rhonda Jackson is a missionary there in Honduras, in Siguatepeque, and she has a ministry called Destino del Reino. And Destino del Reino originally began as a children's home that she took kids and helped raise them up and give them a hope, education, teaching them how to basically make it on their own. But as a result of that, she needed a school. She needed to provide education. And so a result was Destino del Reino, the school, formed. I mean, there's also a church, and then also the school is branching off and starting a university as well. And so this is one of the areas that we have gone. We've partnered with her at least 3 or 4 times that we've gone and served there at in Siguatepeque there with Destino. And so this is an opportunity coming up in May that we will go again. We told Rhonda the last time we were there back in 2017 before Harvey hit, we said, hey, we want to commit to coming every year. and she gladly would take us to come every year. So on May, there in Honduras is one of our places we're going. The next one. So Romania, obviously we saw Phil and Rhonda are there. They are interns with the Stepping Forward Ministries. We have actually been going the last few years to Romania. The last 2 years, I know at least, we have been working with Stepping Forward Ministries. The leaders of that ministry is called Steve and Cammy. And they put on camps during the summer for kids in all around Romania, but a lot of times many of them are orphans. And so we are looking to go again to help with that in June. We're taking two teams this year, two opportunities, June 21st through the 29th, which Monty will be leading, and then I will be leading the June 29th through July 6th trip. So we're looking about 8 to 10 people on each trip. We have some that have already signed up, but this is another opportunity and where we are focusing in on. We look to continue to go and help with Stepping Forward Ministries there in Romania. Next slide there. Another opportunity that's coming up, hopefully in the fall of this year, is to work with Chad Rigney in London. Chad is an International Mission Board missionary, and in fact, he was supposed to be here this morning to bring the message, but he had a family medical emergency. His family's on furlough here in the U.S. Through March, and so his son fractured his skull, and his brother's battling Lyme disease in the hospital, and things are not looking that great. So we told him, go and be with family. And so it fell to me. So I'm here this morning. So Chad is a missionary there in London, in Greenwich Village is where he's at. So we're looking, hopefully, to partner with him and go in the fall. So these are the many different opportunities that we as a denomination, but also then we as a church, and the many different things that we are involved in. So the question that I kind of keep thinking about is this question of what does it mean when we talk about missions? What do we mean? You know, if you have your Bible, if you look in, like, if you got to pull up your phone and pull out your app, right, your YouVersion or whatever app you use or your Bible software, if you based on your English version that you, like, English translation that you look at, if you type in the word mission, you're going to come up with maybe 4 or 5 verses, right? One of them is where Paul in Acts talks about, it says, may translate it like they fulfilled the mission, and really they're saying like they gave an offering. And then the other ones are all Old Testament passages, and they're saying, hey, go do God's mission, which is to wipe out the Amalekites in those verses. So that's not really what I'm thinking about, you know, when we think about mission, wiping out people or giving an offering. So I want to, like, what is it? What do we mean? You know, in our society today, our society today, the word mission is often the statement that drives something, that drives an organization. Why does an organization exist? It exists to fulfill its mission, right? Or this business, or this church. And some of you may not know, but our mission statement here at our church, at FBC Rockport, is to lead all people to be shaped by the love of Christ. That's our mission. That's why we exist. That's why this church exists today, is to lead all people to be shaped by the love of Christ. And that's beautiful. That's what I hope that we are about in all that we do, in all these ministries, that we're leading people to be shaped by Christ's love. And as we think about mission too, I begin to think about the church universal and often think about the Great Commission, right? It's actually in your bulletin if you don't have your Bible with you, but you can look. Matthew 28 is the where we find the Great Commission. It's where Jesus, he's on the mount. He's come to the mount there in Galilee, and he's about to ascend into heaven, and he's leaving the disciples with this last little statement. And he tells them this. He says, you know, all authority has been given to me. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them all that you have observed, and lo, I'm with you always, even unto the ends of the age. And that's the Great Commission. The command there in that passage, the emphasis is on making disciples. That's what we as followers of Jesus are to be about, making disciples. Go as we go, make disciples. And we've talked about discipleship. We've talked about what it means to be a disciple here in the church time and time again. But in the ancient time, in that context, you know, a Jewish rabbi, a teacher, he would go and he would find people that would be his disciples. And the ones that he chose or allowed to be his disciples were ones that he believed, that he trusted, would one day look like him, would one day sound like him, and lead a life just like him. And so when Jesus calls us to make disciples, he's calling us to make a disciple because we're a disciple of him. And ultimately, my goal in life is to look more and more like Christ each and every day, and to be leading others to look more and more like Jesus each and every day. Go and lead people to Jesus. And so if I'm going to get to know what Jesus is like and what drives him and what he loves and what he's about, I want to know that. And I think one of the things that the heart of Christ can be found in Matthew 22, what's referred to as the greatest commandment. The greatest commandment, Jesus is talking to a lawyer, or a lawyer approaches Jesus and he says to him, you know, what's the greatest commandment? And he says, you know, the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And then the second is like it, to love your neighbor as yourself. And he says, on these two commands depends all the law and the prophets. So Jesus is telling us there in that moment that, you know, the thing that drives him is the fact that we should drive us is our love for God with everything that we are, from our mental, emotional, and physical. So love God, and then also in turn, love others just as well. You know, the question there is asked is, or could be asked, what is my neighbor? And Pastor Scott spoke to us a couple weeks ago about that same lawyer that then asked, you know, in Luke's gospel, the story goes on and the lawyer says, well, who's my neighbor? And Jesus responds by telling the story of the Good Samaritan. And we see within the story of the Good Samaritan that it was the Good Samaritan that showed compassion on the Jew that was beaten and left for dead. It was the Samaritan who was the enemy of the Jew that laid down his whatever and was willing to show love and compassion to this person. And maybe in a modern mindset, it might be the Palestinian and the Israeli, or maybe the Muslim and the Israeli, right? Or perhaps even the Muslim and the American, right? This idea of the enemy, or one that the last person you would assume would be the one that was willing to show compassion. And how we love God, and if we're to love our neighbor, we're to be one that would lay down whatever it is, whatever our defenses or things that we dislike about someone, and willing to love them anyway and show them love, show them the love of Christ. He also, that little statement there at the end where he talks about everything that depends on the law and the prophets. If you remember in Mark, there's a story of Jesus and the Mount Transfiguration, where Jesus goes up the mountain and he takes with him Peter, James, and John. And when he goes up there, all of a sudden, like, Jesus turns like white as can be. Like, some of the translations I think even throw in, like, his garments were whiter than bleach, you know, whiter than bleach can get. I mean, white as white, right? He was shining. And as Peter looks up, all of a sudden he sees Jesus, and then he sees Moses and Elijah too. And he's like, dude, we need to build some booths right here, right now, and we just need to sit here and just worship, right? Just be in the presence. And as Peter's like looking down and kind of falling down and maybe in fear, as he looks up, he sees only Jesus. The light had gone away, and now Jesus is left. And here, Moses and Elijah represent the law and the prophets. See, the law and the prophets culminated in Jesus. Everything came together in him. We don't follow the law and the prophets, we follow Jesus. That's what we're called to be a disciple of, be a disciple of Jesus. And that's who we look to, that's who we are to be about. That's how we are supposed to live our lives. He is the culmination of everything. The law and the prophets point to Jesus, and so that's who we follow. Oftentimes, I think of missions and I think of going on mission trips, we always want to be sure that we share with people that Jesus died for them. And that's so true. But let me ask you, let me pose this question to you this morning. Did Jesus just come to die? You know, if Jesus just came to die, why didn't he die when Herod came after the two-year-olds? I mean, why didn't God just let him, like, be killed? Right? And then all of a sudden, rise from the dead as a two-year-old. Why didn't he die younger? Why did he live a life of 33 years, which in that time was actually pretty old? The life expectancy was around the 40s. And so I don't think that's old because I'm past 33. That's very young. But in that day, that was, you know, you're getting towards the end of life. And Jesus lives a life, and then all of a sudden he gets killed by his own people, dies a horrendous death by his people in the empire. See, Jesus did come to die. But I think just as importantly, Jesus came to live. He came to live and to show us how to live. That's why he taught. That's why he loved. That's why he shared his stories. So that you and I could truly know what it means to look like our rabbi and to be like Jesus. He came to live and to show us what true love was about. You know, I think the Jews knew what love was like in the Old Testament, but Jesus was the culmination of it all. He was true love. Love himself put on flesh and came and dwelt among us and showed us what love really looked like. And he proved that love so much that he allowed himself to be killed on a cross to forgive us and to love us. And so that is what I believe that we're to be about in missions. You know, these ministries and these mission opportunities are great. I hope and pray that you will get involved. But let me tell you that it all boils down to this. It all boils down to everything that this is showing love to God and showing love to our neighbor. And you can do that wherever you are. In your family, each and every day, show love to one another. In your coworker that perhaps you despise and you can't stand, but showing love anyway. Or wherever you are in life, choosing to, whether you're in a face-to-face conversation or maybe online, choosing to show love despite what others say or do or believe. You know, I think showing love is kind of like Randy, who was a single guy who lived on his own and his mother passed away recently. She lived in a single-wide trailer right next door to him that was blown to bits. And his home sustained damage, and he had trees everywhere and unable to really feel like he could do anything. And all of a sudden, 12 people showed up and helped clear his land and help organize the stuff and go through the stuff. That was love. Love is when a team goes to Romania, to Bucharest, and Urzi Chin, and tells an orphan that they are valued and that they have a God that loves them and has not forgotten them. That's love. It's like Nico, who was a seventh grader, Destino del Reino, that he, 2 weeks ago, saw his father get murdered in front of him. But he goes to a school that he knows that Jesus loves him. He goes to a school where he can get an education to better himself, but also be loved by people, and be given everything that he needs to live. It's like going a pastor that was willing to throw in the towel, was about ready to throw in the towel and give up ministry altogether. But one Monday afternoon, a group of students and adults came and found him and prayed over him and restored his hope again. And 2 years later, he's not only still in church, but he's got a vision for the city. So that's what I believe that we are called as missions. It comes up in so many different ways, but it all boils down to living a life of love for God and for others. And that's what missions is all about. So I pray that when you think about missions, yes, may we think about that Jesus died for us. But may we also think about Jesus has called us to live. And he's shown us how to live. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this morning. I thank you for your love for us. The hope that you've given to us through Christ. Lord, I thank you that you call us to, as disciples to love you and to love others. Father, help us to like just rest in that, sit in that love in this moment. To remind ourselves that no matter what the world has going on around us, and no matter what the world tells us, Lord, that you value us and you love us. And you've proven that on the cross. And Lord, help us to internalize that, but also to be that to other people, to be the salt and light. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for this morning. Lord, we give you permission to move and help us to respond. We ask these things in your precious name. Amen.